Well, I really enjoy the Sundays that I get to get up here and preach on a exciting, positive, uplifting passage. And as I read the scripture for today, that's not it. We don't get to do that today, but these passages where we're really being pushed to our limits by God and the Holy Spirit and what Scripture is asking us to do, those are the Scriptures that really often we grow more by following through with what the Bible tells us in those. So they're very, very important. And if you've read the Scripture we're talking about today, it's Romans 12, 14 to 16. And I've entitled it Using Your Spiritual Gifts. And if you've read it and you've seen the title for today, you might be scratching your head a bit. Like, where does he see spiritual gifts in there? And so as I studied this week a lot, I took a deep look at spiritual gifts. And part of when I look at it, I do a little search online. And I came across a spiritual gifts test online that you could take. So me and my curiosity decided to take this test, not knowing where it would lead. But there was 100 questions throughout this test, and it was all rate yourself from 1 to 5on on different questions, you know, how you feel about this and that, and what did you do in here and there and all this stuff. And it turns out, at least in my life, it's somewhat accurate, I thought. My first one, my top one was pastor, my second was faith, and third was mercy. So I thought, that might be pretty accurate, but as I looked at those spiritual gifts that they had there, I realized that spiritual gifts are essential to every Christian and their walk and their journey with Christ. And also in my research, I come across the list that they had, and in a minute, I didn't print it in your bulletin, but it's going to be up there. And I want you just to glance through these lists, and don't get hung up on them, because I think there's a whole lot more. But all these up here, you know, prophesying, teaching, leadership, mercy, words of wisdom, speaking in tongues, all that stuff are very, very important. And every one of them up there we can back by Scripture. There's places that they're pulled right out of Scripture. But what I want to talk about today is a little bit different aspect to spiritual gifts. So in my research, I really wanted to nail down what I thought a solid definition of spiritual gifts were. And this is kind of a combination, and as I studied, the definition I'm going to use for today, and I think it's an accurate one for spiritual gifts, and you may disagree with me on this a little bit, but that's okay, is the spiritual gifts are defined by endowments given by the Holy Spirit. These are supernatural graces which individual Christians need to live out the will of God in their life. So today I want to think about spiritual gifts as being a gift from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gifting us this ability to live something out. And if we look at it that way, then it might flip a light on in your head as to how this fits in today's scripture. Because today's passage talks about, well, really, it talks about loving the person you probably should hate or hate the most. And that's not something that is humanly possible to do. Without Christ, there is no way, shape, or form you can live out Romans 12, 14 through 16. It's just completely impossible. And if you want to debate me on this one, I'll debate you till the end, because you cannot. There is no way you can love and forgive someone that's hurt you the most without having Christ in your heart. It's just impossible. So I'm going to read Romans 12, 14 through 16. And it's quite short, but if you want to follow along, you can. And it starts out, it's pretty bold. That's a big statement there. That's something huge. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. And when we think of persecute a lot, we think of probably the churches in the Mideast or not in this area, where people are actually being ripped out of their homes and killed because of their faith. But persecution carries a lot to it. And that is a part of persecution. But persecution can even mean be at times we keep our mouth shut. We don't share Christ because we're worried about what our friends will think about us. That's a form of persecution. And that's something that's pretty strong in America nowadays. Is because we have to be politically correct. We don't want to offend somebody, so we keep our mouth shut. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Some pretty tall orders there. Bless those who persecute you. Verse 15, show empathy. It's really what it's telling us to do. And verse 16, live in harmony with one another. In order to do those three things that we're called to do by these passages, we can't do it without that supernatural gift from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit living in us, giving us this gift. Therefore, I'm calling it a spiritual gift. And we need to use our spiritual gifts. I hope you see how I got the title there for today. But it takes a supernatural gift from God to be able to bless that person that persecutes you, or bless those, love those who have hurt you the most. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it without Christ. Matthew 5:44. And these are the words of Jesus, and I really think Paul is repeating in Romans 12:14 what Jesus said. Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, love your enemies and bless those. Pray for those who persecute you. So I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. And I'm going to ask you a question here. And it's one that, it's a tough question to answer if we're being honest with ourselves. And the question is, can you love and forgive that person that's hurt you the most, or those people in your life that have hurt you deeply, whether it's physically, emotionally, whatever those scars are? And some of us have been hurt a lot deeper than others, and those scars can be hard to live with. You can't do it without Christ helping you through this. You can't do it without the Spirit guiding you in your life. And so I'm going to ask another question. And this is one that you can tell if the Spirit, depending on how you answer this in your mind, don't shout it out. But this is one that you can tell if you're kind of on the right track or not. Or this is one that will get you on that right track. That person or those people that have hurt you, that you struggle to even want to see, that you wish you could pray them off the face of this earth. Are they on your prayer list or your hit list? Think about it. And I don't mean are they on your prayer list that you're praying them off the face of the earth. I mean, are you praying for that person? And in a little bit, later on in the service, I'm going to hope to shed a little bit of light on the value of each and every person. And even though they've hurt you, if you can see value in their life, and them as a person, then maybe it'll be a little easier to pray for that person. But it can start by praying to God. Praying that God, one, will help you forgive that person. But then start praying for them. Even if you don't mean it, it might take 100, 200 times every day praying for that person. And it'll slowly sink in. The Spirit will be there. It's nothing that's going to happen overnight, and it's nothing that's easy. But in order to live out Romans 12:14, to bless those who persecute you, we have to start praying for that person. And we can look at a little bit that you know, those of us that are, we're all still alive because we're here, we're breathing, we don't need to have that debate, But if we're still alive, I'm going to argue that we're alive because God is not done with us yet. Whether he's going to use us to lead somebody else to finding his salvation or whatever. He is not done with us because we're still alive. And I can make the argument too that person, those people that have hurt us, are still alive because God is still working in their life as well, whether they're Christian or not. Because every person has value in God's eyes. So he's not done working on that person. Maybe showing them this supernatural love, this gift from the Spirit. Maybe that's going to be the only glimpse of God they can see. Maybe that's why Paul's asking us to live it out. God's not done with us. And God's not done with your enemy. Sharing Jesus with that person, just letting them see how you live every day and how you can forgive. I'm not talking about getting close to that person and getting hurt all over again, but forgiving that person. That's showing the love of Christ. I want to read a little story that I came across this week, and it's entitled Helping Uncle Joe. It's written by Heidi Newmark. When I went to pick up Shauna for Sunday school one week, she was crying and had blood on her dress. "It's my Uncle Joe," she stated. I knew that her family was going through changes because of Uncle Joe's drug and alcohol addiction. Shauna had a particular reason to feel bitter towards her uncle. For years, she had dreamed of owning a bicycle. And that Christmas, donations from the church came in and made that dream come true. Shauna rode her shiny new bike every day. She washed it, she polished it, she treasured it. But within a month, her uncle had sold the bike to buy drugs. Ample reason for a 9-year-old to be embittered and hate him. Now on this morning, there was one reason, one more reason. Uncle Joe had come home from a night of partying and drinking and drugs. But he was wearing a t-shirt that read, "Say No to Drugs." Shauna simply commented, "Why don't you read your own shirt?" He hit her in his anger, causing her nose to bleed. The white collar and yellow lace of her Sunday dress were a mess. Nothing else was clean, and everyone else was still asleep. So I took Shauna to church, and we tried to wash out the bloodstain. But when it came time in the service for individual prayer petitions, Shauna's voice sounded bright and clear. As clear as a trumpet, she said, "I pray for my Uncle Joe. He needs your help, Lord. Please, Jesus, help my uncle." What a powerful little statement by that girl. And that is a true story. Very powerful. And that brings us right into what verse 15 teaches us, or is talking about, is trying to get us to live out. And that's showing empathy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Coming alongside someone that's struggling in life or celebrating life. Rejoice with those who rejoice. There's a lady that from back at our home church in North Lima that loves to celebrate things. And talking with her kids and her family members, she'll just see on a calendar some date, some holiday in some other country, and she'll throw a party. She will. She'll have her family over, grandkids, and decorates the house. She doesn't even know what she's celebrating. But she wants to be a positive influence on her children and grandchildren and neighbors even. It's okay to celebrate and have fun. And when someone else is having fun, if you notice, it's contagious. If you wake up in the morning and you're in a good mood, the whole family ends up being in a good mood. But it only takes one grouchy person to ruin that. But one of the things we celebrate in our house, and I don't know if it's silly or not, but we celebrate the end of the school year for the kids. We celebrate, one, that they all passed. We celebrate that they made it through. No big catastrophes. But we also celebrate that they've gotten one more year under their belt of learning how to deal with people and get along with people who are different than them. It's been 20 years since I've been in school, but I can't imagine what a challenge it has to be for these kids to face what they do every day. So we celebrate the fact that they've learned how to deal with it. But we have to do it when it's warm out, because what we do is we go buy a bunch of crab legs. That's one of our favorites. But it gets quite messy with shells flying everywhere. So just rest easy. When we do it this spring, it will be on the porch at the house, not inside. Okay? But we celebrate. We have fun. When someone's happy, we come alongside and celebrate. And believe it or not, that is a form of showing empathy, walking in their shoes. But the second part of this passage, the second half of verse 15, mourn with those who mourn. That one's not as fun. It's not as fun when you see someone who lost a loved one. It's not as fun to be with a friend who has lost a family member. But Paul calls us, or Scripture calls us, to walk alongside those people who are hurting, who are mourning the loss of a loved one. And those of you who have gone through that recently, I want you to, and even not just recently, but those of us that have stood in lines at calling hours, watching all these people walk in to pay their condolences to our family member that's been gone. That helps. It helps the person that's lost that loved one. And I think that's one of the ways that God uses us to help support each other in those times of loss. But there's more to just those type of mournings when we're mourning. Have you ever asked someone how their day was? I think we've all done that. How's things going? I'm pretty sure I asked probably 20 people that this morning. And everybody, okay. What about when somebody says, horrible? Do you ever think, has that ever happened to you? It has to me a few times. And then you're like, oh boy, how do I get out of this? We're not supposed to get out of it, though. It's our little cue to just sit down and listen. Sometimes taking that burden off their shoulders is just plain giving them an ear. Giving them an ear to show that you care. You know, this is all, this passage today, not just verse 15, but 16 and 14 as well. It's really Paul teaching us more about how to be relational, how to relate to people that we might not get along with. How do we relate to people and build that relationship? This is all relationship building. That's what we're being called to do here. To step in and walk alongside someone, no matter what's going on in their life. And as we do that, it's funny how this works out. It rolls right into verse 16. As we walk alongside someone and learn to feel what they're feeling and actually caring about where they're at in life, as we do that, we learn to live in harmony with that person. We learn a little bit better how to live in harmony with one another. That's a big one. Live in harmony with one another. Whew. Not always easy to do. Who in here is married and has never had an argument with their spouse? I can't really put my hand up, but... It's not easy to even live in harmony with the person we love more than anybody else, or that we should love more than anybody else, but it's not easy to do. So one of the ways, as I was studying for this, so I thought about some practical ways that we can work at being able to live in harmony with one another. So one of the questions that kept coming through my mind is, are you humble? Because when we're humble, we no longer think of ourselves. We can take the end of this passage out where it says, do not be conceited. When we're humble, we start to place a correct value on ourselves, to where that person that we're struggling to get along with beside us, in God's eyes, is just as valuable as we are. We might think we got it all together and we're a great person, but in God's eyes, there is no one else more valuable than anybody else. There is nobody in this room more valuable than me. There is nobody in this room more valuable than you because of who created us. So think about that. Anywhere you're at, here, at work, struggling to get along with that person, are you more valuable than that person? If you think you are, maybe you better swallow a little bit of humility and bring yourself back down a little bit. Because we're all unique. And we're all made in God's image. And if we can think of that when we're struggling with that person that we have to put up with every day, that we are not getting along with, that we're not living in harmony with, if you can think, wow, they're just like me because they're made in God's image. We're unique, but we're made in God's image. And God doesn't play favorites. So bless those who persecute you. Show empathy and live in harmony with one another. Can we do that? On our own, there is no way we can do that. These are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts from God, of the Spirit living within us. That's what gives us the ability to do that. That's what gives us that ability, the Holy Spirit. And I said earlier that God's not done with anyone on this earth. And part of the reason I can say that is because we know, because we are created in God's image, that we are, each and every one of us, have value because of who made us. Because of who made us, we have value. Now, I brought a little bit of, had some props with me today, so I'm going to use this to finish up. So I want you to look. These guys can kind of see this from where you're at. Does it look valuable? The way it sits, some of you might think it's a couple pieces of firewood or something that fell apart that needs put together. It might be worth a few bucks. Take it down to the auction down the road, might get 10, 20 bucks out of it. But I'm going to differ with you on this. But to me, because of who made this, it's priceless. This right here was made in 1936. And it was made by my grandfather as a sophomore in high school. And a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, my grandma gave it to me. And it was in pretty bad shape. Many years of sitting in the garage or wherever they had it had taken its toll on it. So I did some sanding, glued a few pieces back together, and did the best I could to put it together. And I want you to think of it that way as we're struggling with those people in our lives. That God is still sanding them down and working on polishing them to add value. Because they're valuable in his eyes. Because of who made us, that's what makes us valuable. And so as I was working on it, I just kept thinking. I just kept thinking of how precious and valuable this thing was to me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish it right now in front of everybody. And I do understand that it's going to need a few more nails to actually keep it together. But because of who made it, it's valuable. And so when you're looking at that person or you're thinking of that person that has messed your life up or hurt you or did things that nobody should have to live through, try to remember that they're valuable. I knew that was going to happen. It didn't when I practiced this, but they're valuable because of who made them. And I guarantee you that I would pay more for this than anybody else, than any one of you in this room, because of who made it. Okay, let's try this. Sometimes, though, God just needs to do some polishing to add a little value to someone so we can see it. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that your word this morning that you brought can just sit on our hearts and help us. Help us to forgive those that have hurt us. Help us to bless those that persecute us. Father, I pray that you'll help us to show empathy to anyone we come across in our life. And I pray, Lord, that we can, one, live in harmony with you. Two, live in harmony with each other here. But number three, live in harmony with everyone. Everyone we come across. And we know that none of these are accomplished without the Spirit living in us. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.